Wish you all a very happy Christmas. It's lovely to see you here with us on this Christmas morning. It is the Lord's Day, and we remember the Lord. Particularly today, we remember His coming, we remember His birth, and it's good that we're able to come together to the house of God and to do that at this season of the year. So we do bid you all a very happy Christmas, and we're glad to see you with us this morning. Now, did everybody get Christmas presents? Everybody got Christmas presents? Yes, everybody got Christmas presents. That's good. I'm glad everybody got Christmas presents. I don't want anybody here this morning who didn't get at least one present. And of course, I got Christmas presents too. As you can imagine, it's lovely whenever we come together and we all have benefited from those gifts that we receive. I want to read just one verse of Scripture this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, and the Apostle Paul is writing here, and really he's writing with regard to how God blesses the people of God, and how God is bountiful towards the people of God in their lives. But when you come to verse 15, he reminds them at the end of this passage, or this section of his letter, of this wonderful little statement that we often think about at this time of the year, where the Word of God simply says this: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Do you know, we come together this morning, and yes, it is Christmas morning, and it seems, I suppose, in many ways that it has come about so quickly. It seems to just approach faster and faster every year. But while that is the case, that it comes about so quickly, and life can be busy at this time of the year, and I know in the fellowship things have been particularly busy for many over this past number of weeks, and we're thankful for all who have been involved and who have even been blessed in being involved in all of the different activities. But while life can be busy at this time of the year, it is true that this season that we're in now should be a time of reflection, a time of consideration on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a time to think about the fact that Christ came, and not just the fact that He came, but the reason why He came. It's also a time, as we've already alluded to, a time whenever we give gifts, a time whenever we exchange gifts, a time when family and friends come together and we pass gifts and give gifts to one another. And of course, at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Bible tells us that there were gifts that were brought to the Lord Jesus. We know about the wise men and how they came with those gifts and brought them to the infant Jesus. Sometimes we get gifts that maybe we don't appreciate. Is that fair to say? Sometimes we get things, and while we might put on the smiling face and we might be thankful for it to the person who's given us the gift, maybe we're thinking to ourselves, why did I get that gift? Why was that gift given to me? And sometimes we get gifts and we very much appreciate them, and we can understand why they've been given to us. And I think our appreciation of gifts changes over time. Whenever I was a child, it was all about the toys. It was all about the toys that you wanted to get, and you wouldn't have, I wouldn't have thanked anybody for slippers or a pair of socks or a tie or anything like that whenever I was a child. I wasn't interested in those things. But now, as you get older, and maybe I am just getting old, but now I love to get socks. And it's great when you get socks. I love to get slippers. I got new slippers this year for Christmas, and they're great. And I was very tempted just to wear them this morning and come out in them because they were so comfortable. But and maybe that is a sign that I'm getting old. But whenever we think about gifts and we think about the giving of gifts, the Bible here reminds us about the one who gave the greatest of gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of gifts. But God gave this unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. The word translated as unspeakable there, literally, whenever you go back and look at what it means, the literal translation of that word is indescribable. It's the only time in the whole of the Bible that that particular word is used. Something that's indescribable, that we can't gather the words together to describe this gift, to explain what this gift is all about. You see, it's a unique gift. It's a gift that God has given, and there's no other gift quite like it. Paul couldn't put the gift adequately into words. And if Paul couldn't do it, even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, there's no way I can do it. We can't explain it to the depth and to the magnitude of what God has done. But praise God, we don't have to explain it because God has explained it in His Word. God has described it in His Word. We read about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ specifically over in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2. And over in Luke chapter 2 verses 9 to 11, we read that an angel appears to shepherds. And there the angel speaks to the shepherds and says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful declaration there is there. We see there that this gift which is given was intended to bring joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. It was a gift which was intended to bring hope. It shall be to all people. It was intended to bring salvation. Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a gift. What a gift God has given. A gift which brings joy. A gift which brings hope. But above all of those things, the gift which brings salvation. But this had all been promised many years before. Because God had told Isaiah the prophet so many years before. And these verses, of course, again we read and we think about it this season of the year. It says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, God had promised. God had promised that He would send a Savior. God had promised that He would be born into this world and that He would be the Son of God. God had promised that He would bring peace. God had promised that He would bring salvation. And what a blessing this reality ought to bring to the heart of the Christian at this season of the year. Does it give us joy? Does it bring joy to our hearts in this season? A joy not just at this season, but a joy that we should know at all times. Because of the gift of God, the unspeakable gift, the indescribable gift of God. We know that this is promised. It's written about in the Old Testament and so many times. We know that God has given this gift because the Bible tells us. But why was it needed? Why was there a need for this gift to be given? Well, that brings me to probably a verse that nearly everyone in this building this morning could quote. John chapter 3 and verse 16, because it tells us there about the gift. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse gives us the reason why the gift was given. And I want us to think about that reason just now for a few moments. Wesley put me under pressure in the announcements by telling everyone we'd be finished everything by 20 to 12. So I'm under pressure now, so I'm not going to be long this morning. I want you to notice four simple things. I want you to see, first of all, the giver of the gift. It says, for God. For God. Sometimes we get gifts that we don't expect, isn't that right? Sometimes we might get a gift from someone and we don't imagine that we're going to get a gift from them. It comes from an unexpected source. Maybe it's in a place of employment or whenever we're in work and someone hands us a Christmas gift and we haven't expected them to give us a gift. And then we're a little bit embarrassed because we haven't got them anything. We're caught unawares by it. Maybe we panic a little bit. Because we haven't even thought about buying them a gift, and yet they have given something to us. Out of the goodness of their heart, they've given us a gift. Unexpected gifts. Whenever we consider what the Bible tells us about man, when we read how man was created by God, and in that garden, in those very, very early moments of life, as it were, man quickly fell into sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall. We read how man sinned. And we read time and time again throughout the Word of God about the fact that mankind has a sinful nature, how we're all born as sinners. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're enemies of God because of our nature. Enemies. That's what we are by nature. This standing that we have as sinful mankind, this standing before God, if we were to bring that into how our human mindset works and how the world works, that standing that we have before God, that wouldn't indicate to us or suggest to us that we should expect a gift from God. That's not the way the world works. Sure, it's not. Enemies don't buy people they perceive to be their enemies' gifts. We shouldn't expect anything from the God of heaven, the God who is a holy God, the God who hates sin and cannot look upon sin and cannot have sin in his presence. We ought not to expect anything from him except his holy and his righteous judgment. And we certainly shouldn't expect a gift from him, because we're those who are described as enemies of God. But to think about it like that is to think about it with our finite minds. Because God's different from us. He's so much higher than us. He's so much more powerful than us. He's so much more loving than us. He's so much more gracious than us. And we can't enter into the depth of God's greatness and God's goodness and God's love towards us. We cannot begin to understand him. The Bible tells us in Romans 11 and verse 33 about the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It goes on and it says how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can't grasp him. From our perspective, we can't understand how God would give us anything, because God owes us nothing. Nothing at all. And yet the Bible tells us that he gave for God. You see, we have the giver of the gift. But not only do we have the giver of the gift, we have the grace in the gift. It says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. There's many things that people will say about God today. We hear questions that people ask. They'll say things like, if God really cares, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much sickness? Why is there war? Why are there all of these things if God really cares about us? That's people doubting God. Other people suggest that God doesn't exist. And if God doesn't exist, that means we can live as we please and do what we want. Well, that's not doubting God, that's denying God. I watched a film last night about the life story of a man called America's Poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And it's a film about how he lost sight of God. He's the man who wrote the hymn which begins, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day," the Christmas carol. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, his wife passed away very suddenly in an accident in their home. And he lost sight of everything. And he couldn't even lift his pen again. And known as America's Poet, couldn't lift his pen. And his son, his oldest son, wanted to go and get involved in the Civil War. And his son said to him, he said this, "Everything that has happened, either God is sleeping or God is dead." And over a period of time, as the circumstances came around, and Longfellow came to that place again where he realized that God was still God. And in that carol that he wrote, you have the line, "God is not dead, nor does he sleep." God's not dead. God's not sleeping. We can't deny him. We ought not to doubt him. The Bible tells us about the love of God. The Bible tells us that all of these things that happen in this world, they happen for one reason. They happen because of sin. The Bible tells us that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of these problems in the world, all of these issues that are going on, all of the fighting and the divisiveness and the hurt and the pain and the sickness, they're all problems which are caused by sin. They're all products of sin. And when we realize that sin makes us enemies of God, we understand the grace of God. We understand the mercy of God. Grace and mercy that we don't deserve is manifested in this fact, that God so loved the world. That little word "so" in there, it's very important. You know, that verse could have said, "for God loved the world." But it says, "for God so loved the world." It speaks about the magnitude of the love of God. That he loved us so much. Do you know, if you or I have someone that we don't get along with, and we could use the word enemy, I suppose, well, we don't demonstrate that by love, do we? We don't demonstrate that by compassion or by grace. It's demonstrated in opposition. It's demonstrated in conflict. It's demonstrated in divisiveness. And here's the thing, folks, that's man's way. That's a product of sin. But God is entirely greater than us. He's the creator. We're the created. We're the creature. You see, when man fell into sin, God had a plan of salvation. And that plan is grounded in a God who's gracious, a God who's merciful, and a God who loves us even though we're unlovable. You see, the giver of the gift, you see the grace of the gift. I want you to see the greatness of the gift, because it goes on and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He so loved the world that he gave. We can talk about the value of gifts all day long, can't we? We can talk about how some gifts are of more value financially than others, some perhaps not so much. And we know, even above all of that, that the important thing about gifts is not so much the value as it is the thought or the intent behind it. It's the thought that counts, isn't it? But in the case of the gift that God has given, the gift has the greatest of values, and the gift has the greatest of intentions. It has that dual purpose to it. There's nothing of greater value that God would give his only begotten Son, that God would be willing to sacrifice him. He was willing that his Son would be the substitute for sinners, the one who would suffer on the cross for you and for me. Yes, we know that the plan of salvation always had within it this truth that he would rise again, that Christ wouldn't stay dead. He was going to rise again. But when he became flesh and he dwelt among us and he took upon himself a human body, he took upon himself all the feeling that we can experience, and yet he did that without his own sin. And then he went to a cross, and there on that cross, our sins were placed upon him. My sin was placed upon the Son of God. God judged him for that. And God punished him for that. What a sacrifice. What a gift. What a love God has manifested towards us. The gift was given with the greatest of values. The gift is given with the greatest of intentions, because it was given to redeem guilty sinners. It was given to redeem you. It was given to redeem me, lost in sin, bound for an eternity of separation from God, bound for an eternity of judgment. But God sent his Son with the intention of saving lost sinners. And that's the foundation. That's the purpose. That's the plan of salvation that God had outlined and God had determined. You see, an eternal, omniscient God, a God who knows all things, knew that the man he created would fall, knew that he would fall into sin, knew that redemption would be needed for fallen man. And so God had a plan. He planned the way of salvation through the sacrifice of that perfect man, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a love God had for us, that he would give his Son, the giver of the gift, the grace of the gift, the greatness of the gift. I want you to see the glory of the gift, because it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave this gift because of his love. He gave this gift with an intention. And that intention was to save you and to save me from a lost eternity, to save us from an eternity of judgment. The glory of the gift is this, that those who accept the gift are delivered from death to life. We're delivered from that eternal judgment to eternal satisfaction, to eternal hope, to eternal peace. In Romans 5 and verse 12, the word of God tells us, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that's the implication of sin. Death. Eternal separation from God. That's the implication of my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. But God addressed that problem by giving his son. Because further on down in that same chapter of Romans, Romans 5 and 17, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Do you see the contrast? Do you see what Paul was saying there? Life comes through Christ. Death comes by sin. Life comes through Christ. And we find, in fact, that it comes through this gift. The unspeakable gift. The undescribable gift. This gift opens up other gifts for us. Because this gift opens up eternity for us. This gift opens up heaven for us. It opens up the blessing of having that eternity in the presence of God. It opens up peace for us. It opens up purity for us. It opens up praise for us. It opens up perfection for us when we reach heaven. Heaven, the eternal home of the Christian, is opened up for us through the gift of God. The place where we will be forever with the Lord. The place where Christ is the focal point, the center of it all. The hymn tells us the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Over in Revelation 21, verses 23 and 24, we read about the New Jerusalem. It says, the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's what the gift opens up for us. If you're saved this morning, that's the glory that lies ahead. You see, we come this morning and it's Christmas Day and we rejoice in that and we love everything that goes with it. But let's not ever lose sight of the reason why Christ came. Let's not ever lose sight of the reason why God gave this indescribable gift. You know, in the consideration of gifts today, in the receiving of gifts today, in the exchanging of gifts today, have you thought about this gift? This greatest gift. The gift of greatest value. The gift of greatest intention. Have you considered Christ? Have you accepted Christ? Because he's the gift worth receiving above everything else. And what a Christmas it would be if you would come and put Christ at the center of your life, if you would come and accept him as your Savior. What a Christmas it would be year on year if Christmas Day was the day that you remembered every year that you had accepted the gift of God's salvation on that day, on this day. What a gift it would be. I trust that you know him today. In the midst of everything else, look to him. Praise him. As God's people who are here, let's keep our focus. Remember that he is our focal point today, as he ought to be every day. Let's fix our eyes on him. Amen.